with an Ohio Bias presents NASCAR Talk with Justin Bradley. Justin, welcome in.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing all right. Exciting stuff at Watkins Glen this past weekend, Justin. Your prediction didn't come true like last week, but it was close. He had a top 10 finish, but Martin Truex Jr. was able to conserve fuel, and we were kind of talking about it off cast, man. It was a pretty, not exciting finish, but definitely one that was entertaining for race car fans.
Yeah, overall, it wasn't one of the best road course races I've seen in the last couple of years, but the finish was pretty good. And again, Keselowski almost won it, so I guess I get half credit for that one. But
when I tuned in, I thought you had it, Justin. I'm like, oh my goodness, we're going to have two back-to-back on the podcast, you know, so.
Yeah, I knew I couldn't get that lucky, though. But, you know, Martin Truex, man, he's been on fire, and he's the super speedway guy, but now he's the road course guy. He can win anywhere. And he showed that last year. He's showing it again this year. I think he looks even better. You got a feel for Matt Kenseth, though, especially if you're a Matt Kenseth fan. He almost sealed his playoff deal. And what surprises me is that was the first time he's finished in the top five at Watkins Glen ever. And it was second place, and he almost won it. But, you know, a lot of great runs there toward the end. You had Truex winning, obviously. Matt Kenseth finishing second. And Daniel Suarez, the rookie there in third, he almost had a chance to win that race, too. So a lot of good action toward the end. Again, wasn't my favorite race of the year, wasn't my favorite road course race in a long time. But, again, overall, the finish, really, really good.
Yeah, two questions real quick. You look at the point standings, things don't shake up that much. But both Matt Kenseth and Clint Bowyer missed an opportunity there when it comes to the standings.
Yeah, and they've been running strong, but it may be a case of too little too late. Now, Kenseth, I think he does have a shot to maybe get a victory in the next couple of races. Bowyer, not so much. I mean, he's been solid, but he hasn't really shown that he can win too often. He has one stage win, and that came a couple of weeks ago at Pocono. But, yeah, big-time missed opportunity there for those guys.
You mentioned the rookie Daniel Suarez. He's got some top 10 finishes this year, but still waiting on that big win.
Yeah, he's been solid, like I said, all year long. I think he does have Rookie of the Year kind of on lockdown right now. It's his to lose. And the way he ran at Watkins Glen is probably one of the best rookie runs I've seen in the last few years. Of course, Chase Elliott almost won a few races last year, but in terms of overall rookie runs, that was just excellent. I mean, you would be hard-pressed to find a rookie run that well at a road course. And, man, he ran up front, and he did win a stage, and he was competitive. So I look for a lot of great things to come for that 19 team as the season moves forward.
Everybody's, not everybody's favorite racer, but Kyle Busch took to Twitter afterwards, wasn't happy about the way he got crashed out of that race late. It wasn't that big of a deal. I think NBC Sports, you know, tried to run with it like it was a little bit more. He just, you know, was going back and forth with some fans, both positive and negatively, on social.
Yeah, that's always the case with Kyle. And whether you love him or hate him, at least you know where he stands. Now, some of the things that he does are questionable, but then again, some people love it, so more power to him. But again, he and Brad Keselowski, they have a history anyway, so anytime those two are going to come in contact, it's going to really upset the other one, and that's just kind of how it's going to be from here on out. But that's Kyle Busch for you, man. Whether you like him or not, he does engage the fans, and sometimes it's positive, sometimes it's negative, but at least he does stay true to himself, so you got to give him credit for that.
Well, another week and another big announcement. The race close to you down at Darlington, they got another throwback wrap coming out. Corey LaJoie will be honoring, and BK Racing will be honoring Davey Allison and the old 1984 Grand National car. We get to see that old-style Dr. Pepper here in the number 23 car.
Yeah, and I think anytime you get a chance to see Davey Allison's schemes or even for casual or new fans to kind of learn more about Davey Allison, it is a great thing. He won 19 races in his career. Of course, it got cut short when he had that helicopter crash that killed him on his way to Talladega. 93, just a dark year for NASCAR because they also lost Alan Kulwicki. But Davey was one of the bright faces of the sport. Very well could have been a champion. Probably should have won it in 92 if not for Ernie Irvin spinning in front of him there in the final race of that year. That was such a heartbreaker for a guy who had perhaps his best season to date. But you look at that, Corey LaJoie probably not going to run up front, not going to really be a threat to win at Darlington, but just to have a Davey Allison car as a throwback this year, I think that's pretty cool, and it's great for new fans, it's great for old fans, and it's great for people who maybe forgot about Davey and want to know more about him.
Something that we want to know more about from your perspective is the news that shook the NASCAR world this week. Casey Kane will be leaving Hendrick Motorsports. Saw the news that William Byron will be taking over in the number 5 car. Your thoughts on that?
Well, again, that doesn't surprise me. I think I kind of saw this coming. Casey Kane has just been mediocre with Hendrick for the last few years. Even though he won Indy, you look at the fact that Kyle Busch and Martin Truex were the strongest cars that day, and they wrecked, and that kind of opened the way for him. Jimmy Johnson could have passed him late if not for blowing an engine. Keselowski was there as well. But, I mean, Kane, I like Casey Kane. I really do. I want to see him do well. Unfortunately, it's just not been what everybody had thought it would be at Hendrick, and I'm not surprised that this announcement came. I don't think they were ever not going to make that announcement. I'm half surprised, half not, about William Byron. I think I called it that he would get the 5 car, but at the same time, I also said that Matt Kenseth would have been a good pick, except for it's not a great long-term investment for Hendrick. And right now, you've got Jimmy Johnson there, Chase Elliott, and then I think you'll have William Byron be really successful as well, and also Alex Bowman coming into the 88. So it's a good time for Hendrick to get a fresh driver lineup, and I think they'll still do pretty well. I think they'll win races. They'll always be competitive. They're Hendrick Motorsports, and Byron's going to do a good job for them. The only concern I have is maybe coming up a little bit too soon, but he's run so well, I think you got to strike while the iron's hot if you're Hendrick.
And it's a good timing that Casey Kane, you know, kind of like finishes with that team with a pretty nice win at the Brickyard just a couple weeks back.
Yeah, and I think for Casey Kane, it still shows he can win, that he wants to win. He said all those things in Victory Lane, but we know that Casey Kane wants to win. We know he's a good driver. He just needs to get back into position to get his confidence built up. And I really am looking at perhaps a move to Stuart Haas, maybe in the 10 car, depending on what Danica Patrick does.
Ooh.
That would be a great fit for Casey Kane. And I keep seeing some rumors that Danica might not come back to the 10 car. I don't know that they're true right now, but if that happens, I can see Stuart maybe taking a chance on either Casey Kane or Matt Kenseth. So two veteran drivers there who could fit well into that 10 car if Danica doesn't come back.
Wow, that's another bold prediction there. All right, well, let's go. Let's say hello to Brooklyn. And we're not talking New York. We're talking Brooklyn, Michigan. The Pure Michigan 400 is coming. Give us a little preview what people can expect with this kind of race and that track there.
Well, a little inside joke is if you're an Ohio boy or an Ohio girl, an Ohio State fan even, you kind of refer to that as that track up north, right? That's what we would call it. So, but no, really, honestly, MIS is it's a great speedway. It's, you know, it's one of those where the racing's either really great or it's really boring, or it could be a fuel mileage race. So it's kind of a mixed bag of what you're going to get. I really think that you'll see Logano up front. You'll see Larson up front. But the guy I'm eyeing once again to finally win his first career race is Chase Elliott. 3 times in a row he's gotten second up there. He's got to get it done. I think Chase Elliott wins it this time. I think he does get his first career win if he doesn't spin the tires on the last restart for the umpteenth time. So, you know, I think my boy Chase Elliott's going to really have a strong run. If he doesn't win, Larson, you know Larson's going to be up front. And obviously can't count Truex out, but man, I really do think that this is Chase's race to win.
Yeah, it's not football season just yet. We're very close, so I'm still throwing the M-word out there. But give us one of your favorite memories from the track up north.
I don't really have a whole lot of favorite memories from it. Now, I do have a couple of things that I found interesting. Gordon, for those of you who haven't really heard about Jeff Gordon in a while, he did a lot of great things in NASCAR. We all know that. He's definitely a legend, a future Hall of Famer. But a lot of people may not remember that he won 4 races in a row in that terrific 1998 season, and that 4th win came at MIS. and that was a race where he kind of was out of it there for a while, but came on late to win. So that was a good thing for Jeff Gordon. I remember Earnhardt and Davey Allison had a really great battle there when Davey was a rookie. Earnhardt wasn't really that successful at MIS, but he and Davey had a great race there. I think that was in 1987. I saw the clip on YouTube of the fans just going nuts over that one. Also a favorite memory from MIS has to be the upset that Brian Vickers pulled not too long ago when he got his second career win. I think Jimmy Johnson was up front, but he ran out of gas, and Vickers really came on there and won for Red Bull Racing. So those were some fun races. I think we'll see a really good competitive race again this week, and I wouldn't doubt it again to see familiar faces up front and guys who have been strong at the two-mile racetracks come to the front.
All right, and we're going to close out the podcast this week, Justin. The Redskins, for people that don't know, train in Richmond, Virginia, a little further away from D.C., but not that far. But the cool thing is you can see on SportsCenter probably for the next couple of days or so, and on the website, they had a little guest come down and visit them and take them to the Richmond Speedway, Justin, and that was Dale Earnhardt Jr. We all know he's a huge fan of the team from Washington, but he got those guys an 88 car and showed them what speed and agility really was around the track.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt they can't move as fast as he can in that race car. But that's always fun to see different athletes intermingle and do different things with each other. And I know, like you said, Earnhardt's a big Washington Redskins fan. And, you know, you got Kirk Cousins in there. I really think that the Washington Redskins fans, man, it might be an exciting year. I really don't follow them too much, but I do know that, you know, Earnhardt's a big fan of them. And for him to take them out for a spin on the racetrack and show them, you know, a little bit more speed, maybe that'll get them pumped up to have a really good year for their fans.
Yeah, it's funny. Kirk Cousins came out a little shaky. They had the reports, and they kind of show him getting out of one of the cars. But Josh Norman loved it. And Dale Jr. actually went over to training camp afterwards and was running some routes against Josh Norman. Kirk Cousins was throwing him the ball. So it was just a little – it was a great sports fantasy camp day for both NFL and NASCAR, you know, for those guys.
Yeah, and I think that, again, goes back to show that these NASCAR guys are athletes. I mean, they play pickup basketball and football and all kinds of things in their spare time. So it doesn't surprise me that Dale Jr. is out there with them. He may be a little bit smaller than some of those guys, but it's still, you know, fun to see him out there having a good time, even though he hasn't had the greatest of seasons. At least, you know, he's still enjoying his life, and that's a good thing.
Definitely looking forward to trying to see if the number 24 Chase Elliott, you know, comes in there at MIS in a row. And Justin, go ahead and close out the podcast and give people the social media links to follow you.
Yeah, again, 2 Justin Bradley is the Twitter, 3 Justin Bradley is Instagram. You can follow me anytime. Mostly tweet about NASCAR. Sometimes I tweet about whatever's on my mind. So it's kind of a stream of consciousness, Twitter, but you know, I'm still trying to get the hang of it. I haven't been a part of it for very long, so one of these days I'll really get my Twitter personality down pat. But I like to keep it real, you know. I mean, I'm not going to say crazy stuff or you know, attack people. I'm always interested in good discussion, and I've gotten a lot of that lately, and we're really excited to be a part of that and keeping on with the NASCAR Twitterverse.
Absolutely, and he's no Kyle Busch out there, ladies and gentlemen, so you can't at him. We want to make sure that you're giving us a like on Facebook at With an Ohio Bias so you can make sure you can see this podcast when it pops up, and then subscribe on iTunes and write us a review. And you can do the same on Google Play and on the Stitcher app. We thank you for listening, and we will talk at you next time.